A time to choose God's servant was on my mind all week. So one of those passages that I was reading was from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. And it was a time when a man with a broken heart, grieving for King Saul, who had disappointed God so much that God rejected him for his disobedience, chose another man. And in that time, it was time to choose. A time to choose God's servant. A time to choose God's servant. King Saul was one who had been selected by God. It was a time that the people who Samuel was the last of the judges, the people there in the land of Israel, were looking at their neighbors and seeing they had kings and they didn't have one, even though God was their king. And because of that, God had previously in the book of Deuteronomy, and in particular chapter 17, already told them that they were going to get tired of him and they would want to have a king like their neighbors. And so God gave them some requirements in the 17th chapter of Deuteronomy, that if you're going to get a king, he needs to be the king like this. And he gave them that description. And so Samuel had gathered the people, and there was a man named Saul. Saul was very tall. He was a Shaq-sized kind of guy. He was the biggest man of his day. There was nobody bigger or taller than him. So he was good looking. He was handsome. He was rich. And at the beginning, he was humble. But in a battle with the Amalekites, he didn't do well. He did not do well at all. He was waiting for Samuel to come and prepare the sacrifice, and he didn't wait. He was taking too long, and so he decided to do it on his own. And he didn't do what God had said for him to do. He was supposed to kill the king. He was supposed to kill all the people. He was supposed to kill the animals. He was supposed to wipe everything out because God had judged these people. But he didn't kill the king, and he made the sacrifice himself, which was not his lane to swim in. And he kept the good stuff. All the good things, to sacrifice or eat, rather. And when it was found out, God was hot. And Samuel was disappointed and he was angry. And at the end of the day, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16 that God had provided a king for himself, and it was going to be someone who was not Saul, for he had rejected him. So I want you to know that because he was rejected, that Samuel had to anoint someone else as king, and he was reluctant to do so because he was afraid that Saul would find out and kill him. But it was time, church. You see, God's program is not going to stop. It's not going to stop. David is going to be the man through whom he will have a kingdom. And Jesus will be a son of David. Well, you can't get to David, Samuel, if you don't get on about your business. It's time to choose God's servant. It's time to choose God's servant. So he had to step out on faith and obey God himself. And so he went to anoint a new leader for Israel once again, for it was time to choose God's servant. There are 3 points. The first point, it was time to move forward. It was time to move forward. Verses 1 through 3. Our second point, it was time to make a choice. Verses 4 through 11. Our third and last point, it was time to be anointed for service. It was time to be anointed for service. Verses 12 through 13. Time to move forward, verses 1 through 3 of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Second point, a time to make a choice, 1 Samuel 16, verses 4 through 11. And last, it was time to be anointed for service, verses 12 through 13. Samuel told Saul, "Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and don't spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing baby, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Now you hear those words like that and you wonder, God sounds kind of mean. Well, first of all, God is holy. And the people whom he had given judgment for were not holy. And it was time for them to go. Their judgment wasn't going to wait. They needed to be judged now. And a holy God gave his manservant an order to go and do that. And Saul heard these words from God's man, Samuel. So Saul defeated the Amalek, but he spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the cattle and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and wouldn't utterly destroy them. This is from 1 Samuel chapter 15. Everything that was vile and refused, they utterly destroyed. So he only partially obeyed God. That wasn't good enough for God, and God rejected him. In verse 11 of chapter 15, the Lord responded by telling Samuel these words, "It grieves me that I have set up Saul to be king." And he rejected him. He rejected him. See, Yahweh, or God, had a man who was after his own heart that he was going to replace him with. You see, the one that the people wanted, Saul, was a good-looking, handsome guy. And on the outside, he looked like the right man to choose. He looked like the right man to choose. But his heart was not a heart after the God. Not at all. And so God had to reject him as king. You see, God is looking for someone to pastor the New Berean Baptist Church who has a heart like him. I'm not all that worried about all the stuff and things that we see in presentation. I'm interested, do you have a heart for God? Pastor Ricks, when he started this church, he had been a preacher for a while. But the Pastor Ricks that you know, who had been here for over 30 years, matured from the day one pastor. I remember my first sermon. If I want to make sure that I stay humble, all I gotta do is listen to my initial sermon. That'll humble me real quick. So whoever we choose as pastor, whatever you are looking at right now, please understand, he's going to grow. He's going to mature. He's going to figure out who you are and what kind of food you like. And if you like the kind of line-by-line, precept-upon preaching, he's going to figure that out. Okay? Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Just recognize that it's time to choose God's servant. And for the right reasons, my friends. Our first point, it was time to move forward. It was time to move forward. It's time to move on. Verse 1 of chapter 16 says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, boy, how long will you mourn for Saul? This ain't about you." It's not. God has a program to redeem mankind. We can't hold up because you are sad about the sin that Saul committed. Yes, it grieves us when people do things, but we can't stay there. It grieves us when we lose a pastor, a wonderful pastor like Pastor Biggs. But guess what? We just can't stay here on this side of the Jordan. "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn." He's telling him to get to work. "Fill your horn with oil and go." G-O. It's time to move forward. "I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have listened to what God is saying. I have provided myself a king among his sons." Now, I want you to pay attention that God is going to select the right man. You and I don't have the same privilege that Samuel had, because we have to choose, and it's not necessarily that God is going to tell us which one. And the reason is because that's not how he works. You see, he can select a man himself, or he can direct us to select a man according to his requirements. And it's that second part that you and I have. So if you're waiting for God to somehow give you a lightning strike to tell you which candidates to choose from, you're going to be waiting a long time. "For I myself have provided a king among his sons." You see, the one that God provided for them was one that the people liked. He looked good. Big guy. Surely he's rich. Surely he's king material. Well, no, he wasn't. Now God is saying, "Let me show you what I think a king ought to look like. A man after my own heart." Look at verse 2. And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." See, he's afraid. Is he trusting God? Is he leaning onto his own understanding? I understand he's fearful. Why not? That's a big dude. That's a mean guy. This guy can kill him. Samuel's old. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you, a cow, and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. He's going to Bethlehem. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you. God's saying, I'm going to show you specifically what you shall do. And then he says, you shall anoint for me the one I name to you. This is an interesting exercise to watch God make a choice for a leader, because we do things differently human-wise when we choose leaders. We choose dumb leaders sometimes. I mean, are you kidding me? How did you get to be? I shake my head sometimes at people who get picked to be leaders in all areas of life. Why in the world would you? God says, I will show you what you shall do. I shall anoint for me. Notice he didn't say, I'm going to anoint for you, Samuel, to soothe your comfort zone. Did he say that? Who is he anointing him for? Right, because God has an agenda. God has a plan to put in place, and he needs his man to lead, to fulfill his plan for the redemption of mankind. And this is just part of his plan, if you will, which takes us to our second point, that it was time to make a choice. Verses 4 through 11. We're in the New King James Version. So the choice that was made, my friends, as we just saw, was God's choice. The choice that needs to be made is going to be God's choice. And he's going to choose a shepherd boy whose name is David. But the difference between David and Saul is that God looked at David's heart, and God liked what he saw. God looked at David's heart, and he liked what he saw. You're going to find in these next few verses that each candidate, now, by the way, as we will see, God did not tell Jesse why one of his sons was going to be anointed. He just said, you're going to be anointed. In other words, you're going to be consecrated for God's service. He didn't say what that service was. So each family member was brought before Samuel. That was the method back then that God had chosen here. You notice in the book of Acts, when they chose the replacement for Judas, they used lots. Now, you and I are going to be voting, right? But it's still a choice that God is allowing us to make. And he's allowing Samuel to make a choice, but he's going to give Samuel some divine help. So Samuel, in a sense, as we'll see, he's going to examine them. But the ultimate choice is going to be God. So after, as we read through the story, this portion of the story, Samuel's going to set aside his own personal preferences, and he's going to go with God's choice. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. He's going to set aside his own personal choices, and he's going to follow God's choice. And as we search for leaders, my friends, we will also have to start setting aside some of our own opinions. I'm going to say that again because you didn't hear what I said. Sometimes we're going to have to set aside our own opinions. And follow God's method of choosing. We must look to the Lord for his choice. Verse 4. So Samuel did what the Lord said, and he went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" The last time that he showed up, he told Saul to kill everybody of the Amalekites. All right? That's what they heard on CNN. They heard that he told King Saul to destroy these people because God said so. So now he's coming to their town. Uh-oh. Did we do something wrong? We better check ourselves. Are you coming peaceably? Verse 5. And he said, peaceably. Chill, folks. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then he says this, sanctify yourselves. Now, to sanctify yourselves means y'all got to get cleaned up. Y'all can't be doing no crazy stuff up in here. Y'all got to get cleaned up. Sanctify yourselves. And come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons. Now it says Jesse and his sons. I'm going to add this thought here. Jesse and most of his sons, because he's missing one. And invited them to the sacrifice. Verse 6. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, check him out. Now Samuel has been a man of God for many a year, and he's a prophet of God. You know Samuel knows his stuff when it comes to spiritual things. I come from the old days. I know a man of God when I see one. Surely the Lord's anointing is before him. Hey, this is the guy. Now, Jesse had some good sons. And as we read through the scriptures in Kings, you will see in Samuel, and in Kings, you'll see that these guys were good soldiers. They would have been the high school athletes. They would have been the big men on campus. So he's looking at them and he says, surely this is the one. But look at verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have, listen to what he said, I have refused him. Now, what was wrong with the boy? There was nothing wrong with the boy, except that's not God's choice. For God was looking for a man after his own heart. He wasn't looking at the presentation of this young man. I'm sure he's a good guy, great guy. I don't know him. I have no reason to think otherwise. But the Bible here says that God refused him. And he gives a reason why. For the Lord does not see as man sees. The Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord, he looks at the heart. We search for leaders. But like Samuel, we're going to have to set aside our own opinions from time to time. Amen. To find the men and the women of God's choosing. We must look to the Lord for his choice. This is reminding me of a verse in Psalms 32, I believe. Let me make sure I get that right. And verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. God has his own rationale. And sometimes we're going to have to look to his rationale to make choices rather than going by our own opinions, if our opinions deal more with the outward things and not the inward things of God. It would have been easy for Samuel to anoint the wrong son of Jesse as king. But instead, he had to listen to God's guidance. And God would lead him to the right choice as king. Now, after we've been grieving, for whatever purpose or for whatever thing, we especially need to get back in tune with God and allow him to guide us. Because when we get mournful, sometimes we take our eyes off of the Lord. Because it's us. It's our hurt. It's our pain. And sometimes when we do that, we don't always think as straight as we should. That happens when, we're human. And God understands that, and he made us that way. That's why he had to tell Samuel, how long are you going to grieve, boy? God does not see man as some of us see ourselves. We look at outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. So in verse 8, Jesse called another son and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then verse 9, then Jesse made another son pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons, seven of them, pass before Samuel. By the way, if you read through the scriptures, you're going to find that there seems to be another son. One may have died or something like that, we don't know. But as you read through Chronicles, you'll see various names of other sons. So we're not sure exactly how many total sons he had. Probably no more than eight or so. Or we don't know. But it wasn't one of these sons that was chosen. Verse 10 says, thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Verse 11. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here? Because you run out. And I'm supposed to choose one of your sons. And all your sons are gone." Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." Okay, now, I've been to the zoo. And I've been to some outdoor places, and I worked at a place called Triple C Bible Camp. I was a program director there for several years. So I'm familiar with the smell of animals. Sheep do not smell good at all. Remember I said that Samuel told them to sanctify themselves. That means they need to be clean. They need to be consecrated. They need to be suitable to present themselves before God. But I want to tell you that man's wisdom is foolishness to God. Because God will choose the most unlikely person and give him, through the Spirit of God, an anointing to do mighty things. Pastor Ricks, love that brother. Stack Pastor Ricks up against Tony Evans. Who are they going to pick? Don't answer the question, because you know the answer already. When Pastor Ricks left his former church, in case you didn't know, many of them assumed Pastor Ricks was going to fail. What does he know? He hasn't been pastoring long enough to know what to do. Pastor Ricks himself said that. Remember last week? If you go to that message I told you, you'll hear him say it himself, so I'm not lying. Look at me. I'm sitting here preaching to you. I have no business being up here compared to what I was before. If you heard my initial sermon, that boy don't need to be preaching. They say that, some have said that all your sermons pretty poor until you reach maybe number 200. And if you listen to people who start preaching at the very beginning, you'll probably find out that, yeah, he had a lot to learn. There are many things that Pastor Rich learned over the years. He had been to school, but he continued to go to school while he was here and eventually got his Bachelor's of Divinity. But after over 30 years of pastoring here at New Bremen Baptist Church, a man who was a pastor's pastor. And if you go back into the office, and I put a picture up, and I would love to see it hung up somewhere, how many of the men of God, some of whom are preachers, came out of New Bremen Baptist Church. He was a good pastor. But he was not the very same preacher at the very beginning there in the hotel. Are you hearing me? But he had a heart that was tender towards God. And he had a love of people that was necessary to be the under shepherd of people in this church. And I'm going to be kind here. Some of the people who came here, they had stopped going to church. They didn't want to go to church. They didn't like pastors. They put their noses up against them. They don't know nothing. I'm never going to join a church again. But they came here because somebody loved them enough and gave them the word of God, and he obeyed and he fed the flock. And they began to grow. And some of them started getting rid of some of that stuff that they brought with them that made them unattractive to people, if I can say that kindly. Because sometimes people can get rough. Not quite as humble. Very proud. My way is the only way. And if you don't preach the way I want you to preach, if you don't say the things, if you don't sing the songs I want you to sing, I ain't gonna have nothing to do with you. But they came and accepted Pastor Ricks as pastor. I'm not joking when I say this to you. Some of them would have never showed up to join a church until they died. But they came here. I want you to keep that in mind as you think about why God is choosing David to be the king. Because Saul didn't have a heart that was tender towards him. Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down. We're not done yet till he comes here." How does God choose pastors? God chooses someone for this position who is close to him in spirit and whose heart is in line with his heart. But God also allows us to choose leaders. That's why we see in Timothy and in Titus some of the requirements and the character qualities that are well defined in those passages. God can choose leaders himself. I mean, he handpicked them. He picked Nebuchadnezzar before Nebuchadnezzar was on the scene to be such a man that he would come and take away the people of Judah and cart them off as punishment for their idolatry until they got their act together some 70 years later. He chose a man like Darius to release the people that Nebuchadnezzar had grabbed and send them back and say that the Lord had, I'm talking about Darius now, Persian king. The Lord wants me to build a temple in Jerusalem for him and to send his people back. God can choose specific people for his purposes. But for you and I, he lets us choose leaders. But what he does is he gives us the requirements to choose from. Hosea 8 says, "They set up kings, but not by me. They made princes, but I did not acknowledge them." You see, God allows us to make choices. We're not robots. But he gives us some guidelines for the people that he has in mind, and we will choose a pastor here at New Berean Baptist Church. In Exodus, when Moses needed some help, God told him, "But select." He didn't name them. He said, "Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And he told Titus, Paul told Titus to appoint pastors, bishops, if you will, elders, I believe they call it in Titus. And he gave them some requirements that those men needed to have, like being blameless, not self-willed, not angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. They had to be Christ-like, they had to be mature, had to be the husband of one wife, faithful men who hold fast to the word of God, sound doctrine. He gave them some requirements. So that's what we're going to end up doing before we get to our third point. If I could make a very poor illustration here, just to help make the point here, because I want you to get it before we get to our third point. If I want a blue Mustang, a 2023 blue Mustang with blue interior, a certain brand of tires, and certain bells and whistles, and I write it down, and I give it to Deacon Parker, and Deacon Parker starts pulling up some websites of different dealers, and he goes to the websites and he calls them and he asks, do you have this particular vehicle? And so he finds one of the dealers that he's looked up, the several dealers he's looked up, okay, and he selects the car. And then he comes to my house looking for some money to pay for it. And I thought you understood, brother. I thought you were going to pay for it. But no. But then I come to Deacon Jackson, my friend. And I asked him, because he's a hard worker, could you get me a certain size flat screen TV? Now, it took Brother Parker a week. 2 months later, I'm still looking for my TV from Curtis. What's wrong, Brother Curtis? Well, you didn't tell me which dealer to go to. No, you were supposed to choose the dealer. You were supposed to go and look and see, did they have the requirements? I didn't say I was going to select the dealer, Deacon Jackson. It's 2 months late now. See the difference? Deacon Parker made the choice based on the requirements. Deacon Jackson was waiting for me to specifically tell him where to go. The pulpit committee had the same problem. I'm quite sure sometimes they were going like, we got to choose the one that God said. You know, God said, you make the choice. I'm just giving you the requirements. It's easier to make choices when you understand how the thing is set up. We can get all crazy. Who are we going to vote for one day? Do we vote for number one or number two? You don't have to. You can say no to all of them. But guess what? Public committee is going to go to number three because they're not going to meet and do this all over again. They're tired, aren't you? You know how you run a game, run a race? You go all the way to the end, and you're feeling good and pumped up, but then when it's over with, whoo! Do y'all want to go back and do this again? And if we don't choose number three, then we're going to go to the fourth one they selected. in that pecking order. They're not going to start all over again. Jesse wasn't going to somebody else's house to start all over again after he ran out of sons. It was time, at third point, to be anointed for service. The boy came. Remember now, he was with the sheep. And he wasn't presentable. He wasn't the perfect, clean-cut boy like his brothers were, from the standpoint that they had been cleaned up and sanctified. He came from hanging out with them sheep, them smelly animals. Not someone who was presentable. But there was a difference between him and his brothers. David was a man after God's own heart. Look at verse 12. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, reddish complexion, bright eyes, good looking. And the Lord said, arise, talking to Samuel, anoint him, for this is the one. This is one of those choices where God makes the selection. He still has to be chosen and selected by Samuel to go and anoint. And he used Samuel as his instrument. But this was one that God specifically chose because it was time for this young man to be anointed for service. For he was going to be called to be God's man. No longer King Saul. King Saul has been rejected. But in this passage of scripture, it's time to be anointed for service. This is the one that God was going to use. The Lord said, anoint him, for he is the one. Samuel was sent to Bethlehem to discover, if you will, the object of God's election. It would have been a difficult task if Samuel did not know what he was supposed to do. But God was with him. Didn't we see God talking to Samuel? God was with him. He was not by himself. He had the sure voice of inspiration with him as he was able to complete God's task. Now, we have a task, and we don't have that same voice, but we do have his instructions to us in Titus. We have his instructions to us in Timothy. We know what God is looking for in a pastor. And we know that he's looking for a man after his own heart. And that is what we are going to have to do when it's time for us to finalize our choices for pastors. We're not going to guess on our own opinions, but we're going to guess based on what God has said. Apart from our own personal opinions and preferences, let's make sure we do just what Samuel did. He listened to God. Verse 13. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And man, oh man, I just loved this when I read it. I just loved this. This was beautiful. Look what happened. And the what? Stop right there. And the what? Came upon David from that day forward. I didn't say just that day. From that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. And that's where he stayed pretty much. Yeah. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. This was the anointing that David received. He was anointed three times, but this was the most important anointing, for it was the presence of the Spirit of God, God's supernatural empowerment for him to do service. That's why God is looking for a man after his own heart. For when he is filled with the Spirit of God, irregardless of how a Pastor Ricks will stack up to a Tony Evans, Pastor Ricks did his job. I don't compare him to Tony Evans. I compare him to Pastor Ricks and how God compares him as a man after his own heart. Whoever the next man is, I'm going to do him the same way. I'm going to look at him as compared to God's own heart. I don't have time to compare him with anybody else. I don't know who he's going to be. All I know is, are you going to preach the word? Do you have a heart that's like God's? Well, let's go. Because it's time to choose God's man. It's time to choose God's servant. God is looking for a man, in conclusion, who is tender in heart towards God. As you prepare to choose God's servant, God's manservant, whoever he may be, whether it's the first, the second, third, fourth, or fifth choice, please pray for your next pastor. He's going to need it. He's going to need it. Pray that God would increase his passion for the word and to preach it. Give him a love for you and the strength needed to lead this church. And pray that he will have the kind of good relations that you had with Pastor Ricks. Get to know him. Get to know his family. He's going to have to prepare for service as a shepherd of a sheep that he has not met. Oh, he may have known us before, but these are going to be his sheep now. Not Pastor Rick's sheep, his sheep. And he's going to be responsible for them. He's going to have a whole lot on his head, a whole lot on his shoulders, a whole lot on his heart. Pray for him. He needs you to do that. Pray that he would be a good shepherd of this church through all the trials and troubles and things that will come. And he will face them, and they will come. Pray for his family. We don't want to see his wife having to feel like she has to protect her husband against the sheep. She wants to be able to minister with her husband and support him. He's going to need that. You pray for him. You pray for the leadership of this church, that we make all the right choices that we need to do as we continue to search and prepare for the right man of God to lead this congregation. Now, you cannot be a man after God's own heart unless God is actually in your heart. And the only way that Jesus can be in a person's heart is through the person of the Holy Spirit. To do that, a person needs to be born again. The Bible says in John chapter 3, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born from above. A person who does not know Jesus is a person who is still under the wrath of God. In other words, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sin, my friends, is going to cause an eternal death. The sins have to be paid for. All of us are sinners. But if you trust Jesus Christ and the fact that Christ died for our sins in our place, God will forgive us of our sins. And we will be able to be saved. We'll be saved. We'll be saved. We will no longer be under the wrath of God, but we will have eternal life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never asked Him to come into your life to be your personal Savior, now's the time to do so. With all eyes closed, heads bowed.